Final hour here on this Monday afternoon. Be a part of the 70,000 rocking fans at Nissan Stadium. Yeah, Smashville is excited to welcome the entire hockey community for a unique spectacle that will celebrate the spirit of Nashville. You can buy your tickets now at NHL.com/stadium series tickets. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. We were out there last Wednesday at Nissan Stadium. The 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series is coming to Nashville. Predators hosting the Lightning February 26th. You also have a chance right now to text in the keyword Smashville. Text in this word Smashville to 615-737-1025. That is our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. It says 738 in the copy. I don't believe we've changed the text line number. 737-1025. And be entered to win a pair of tickets to that game. If you text in the word Smashville right now, 615-737-1025. Speaking of that, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, because a lot of you want to weigh in. Scott, you're up next. Welcome in.
Yes, that last caller was dead on in most of what he said, and I have some personal experience to add to that too. I had three kids in college at the same time for a while, so I drove Uber, and I would pick up groups every weekend at the airport and take them to the same Airbnbs every week. And you know, if it wasn't bachelorette parties, you know, there was the, if it was guys, it was, you know, mainly in the fall coming here for, or couples coming here for football games. And this is much bigger than just ticket brokers. I mean, there are, well, number one, you have no idea how much of the construction boom and the condos out and the renovation, gentrification is driven by speculators who are making money off of short-term rentals. I mean, you would be there are entire blocks in East Nashville that are nothing but Airbnbs.
It's been well documented. There's 30,000 Airbnb properties available in this in Middle Tennessee. It's ridiculous.
And there are people that, you know, that have Airbnbs that will buy 6 or 8 or 10 tickets together, and they can get a premium for that. They can get a premium for their Airbnb, and they can get a premium for 8 or 10 tickets together and sell it as a package at a huge price, because there are people willing to pay that to come for Nashville for a weekend. And I'm not really sure what you can do that's even legal to stop that. The Titans are paying for their past sins, and you don't. We've been good and we've been competitive for a while, but I mean, if you just think back 5, 6 years ago, when the Titans came here initially from, you know, 99 to about 2007, 2008, this was the best home atmosphere in the NFL. It was the most loud. You know, we had it going. And then the team started slipping on the field and off the field. And, you know, when the last few years of Bud Adams, and then, you know, after he passed, the void in the management. You know, we had an interim president and an interim GM.
Scott, we know the history. It's been well documented on the show. So let's.
I know, but that's when everybody started dropping their tickets and these brokers. And that's the same time all this new development was coming in and SoBro. That's where we lost the local fan base. And that's where, you know, these brokers got in and grabbed everything. And I don't know how you get it away from them legally.
Yeah, okay. It's complex. I do want to make the point, because I think, Scott, you bring a lot of good things to the table. It's this thing that has got layers to it. And I should not sort of give a perception that, hey, just do what the Predators did. It's a different problem, right? It's a much bigger venue. There are layers to it. The horse is a little bit out of the barn to some degree. It's hard to get it back. It's probably not as easy. But I think you've got it, and I think they are trying. But I think they're figuring out that it's pretty tough to go back. But I think they're aware that, man, I mean, you have to be when you're good, and you're seeing that. Like, it's one thing if you're no good, and you're like, okay, you know, I get it. You know, Kansas City's got the Super Bowl, they're coming in. Cowboys fans are everywhere. Steelers fans. But when you're good and you see that, if you're Mike Vrabel, it's got to get to you.
Well, I'm sure of course, it does. But, I mean, there's got to be a way to combat that, right? Or does it go back to what you said? I mean, if we're
just being honest. It's
going to
cost you money. It's going to cost you a lot of money.
If the organization, these tickets, okay, what Scott just laid out and Jeff laid out, it's the same story basically, right? It's just different layers to it. If the tickets are sold, it's up to the – either they care or they don't care, right, on who it's sold to. Because that's what we don't know the answer to. And the Titans are never going to come out publicly and say that. Yeah. But if the tickets are sold, do they really care? Like, do they care truly who it's sold to? Or do they just care that the tickets are sold?
I think that they're caring more because they're good. And this is where you figure – because there was once a notion that I think on our show we challenged that notion, but there was a throwaway line that used to get used a lot. You know, when you win, that solves all the problems.
Yep. Right.
When you win, it doesn't solve the problems.
No.
When you're talking about the secondary market and all these things we're talking about, you have this great setup of all these places you can come stay and then go have your fun downtown. We've seen it develop. Not just for football games, but for everything that's going on in our city. It's a great weekend destination city.
Mm-hmm. But,
and there are businesses that have been built around that whole concept.
Yeah, well, and I mean, look at the other events that are coming. WWE announced today that they're bringing their second biggest event of their calendar year to Nashville in SummerSlam in Nissan Stadium. You have the outdoor game that we're promoting, talking about with the Predators. That's coming to Nissan Stadium. All these big concerts, almost says conferences, but they're coming here too. But concerts that are coming to Nissan Stadium. So it's to the point earlier of Nashville being in demand, then you know that just adds to it. But Darren, let me ask you this, because you guys have you've been very consistent talking about this for years,
a very long time,
and. The fact, the question of does the organization care or do they just care that the tickets are being sold? And I'm asking this, I'm speculating, but the fact that now you got the head coach that brings it up in a press conference, mm-hmm. and this isn't the first time.
This isn't the first time
that he's brought it up.
Nope.
You know, is that a message to the fans or is that a message to the organization?
Or is it all the above?
What we don't know is how much time has he taken to understand these complex issues that have been brought up by a couple of great callers, by the way.
Yeah.
A couple of callers have hit this right on the head of what they're dealing with here. My question is, if you could, I don't know how you do it, or if you could do it, but if you could magically buy back all the tickets from the brokers, let's say the brokers own the PSL. You go to the broker and you say, I'll buy all the tickets from you. I'll give you a good deal. It's going to cost the team a lot of money up front. And then you sell them back, but you put in some sort of system similar to what the Predators did. You can only sell tickets to people in the area code.
Mm-hmm.
And those people cannot resell the tickets. That, to me, some structure like that would have to be put in place. It would be a lot of work.
And now they
it would cost you money.
Yeah.
It would cost you money. But if you could.
They won't do it.
Well, I think that's. And I don't even know if that logistically could be done. And people are asking if it's legal. I don't know if it is legal in that system. I know the NHL has done. That's the Predators were able to do that.
Right.
To some degree. They put in the codes, they took the heat for it.
But they never had PSLs. Like
PSLs. You have to buy the tickets from the person that owns the PSL.
That is the problem, and I've never understood.
Yeah, but how do you do that? What if they live here? Then how do you identify them? How do you know who's who? If they've got a Nashville address, how do you know who's who? Who's Joe Blow, your neighbor?
I mean, you
with
don't.
Season tickets,
right? But,
what if they live here?
The address.
Well, I think what Darren's trying to say is like if you're a Chiefs fan and you live here.
What if these people are from here?
Are you saying opposing fans or ticket brokers?
The brokers.
Brokers.
I mean, they live here. Yeah. So, well, I mean, how do you identify who's who?
But I think
I don't think you get them all, but I think you could get a big chunk.
Like the Preds have put in gold games, for instance, where you can't transfer. You can't sell them. Like you have to be at those games. And I know that some of those policies may frustrate people, especially in an 82 game or a 41 game home season. You can't go to everything, but they're doing that to ensure that they have as many of the home fans in the stadium and they have the opportunity to be there, be in the arena. The problem here, and I have never understood why the Titans did this or the NFL does this in general, is the PSL, the personal seat license, which basically you buy the seat and you own the seat, but then you have to go turn around and buy the season ticket. But it gives you the power of, well, that's my seat. I can do whatever I want with it. It's my property now. And I don't get why they just didn't do straight season tickets, but now they're stuck. Because
well, sure you do. There was a lot of extra money involved.
It was, and I know they had to pay for the stadium and all that stuff. Yeah. But it's
a double-edged sword.
But they're stuck now.
It shows you a commitment. Like if you buy the PSL, you're committed. You know that you're investing. So on one hand, that
but
makes you
really.
Maybe more likely to sell the tickets. But I think it also has you more like, hey, I gotta make sure I get a return on my investment. So it makes you even more conscious of trying to recap some money.
But here's
so why is it this going on? I mean, I guess the answer is because Nashville's different than everybody else. I'll just say this.
But it is happening in a lot of stadiums. It's not unique to Nashville.
It's happening with the Chargers. Who else is dealing with this? Their stadium gets overrun for home games.
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville overrun? Like there's just nobody ever there.
I think you see a lot of fans of other teams in other stadiums.
I don't think Jacksonville's getting overrun.
I think
with
Charlotte,
the opposition's
fans. I've seen that happen there. I think it happens more than you think. But
I think Nashville and the Chargers are the worst.
But it happens a lot. It happens a lot to teams that are down and are just looking to sell the seats in general. You would hope that at this point you have enough fans who care about the Titans that would want to sit in those seats.
I just struggle
to
with
sit in those
the
seats.
Third. That third, I can't get past it. Like, and I know everybody's just
this is not new. They've had these.
That's 23,000 tickets.
I forget the gentleman's name.
So you're telling me there's not 46,000 other tickets being sold? Like, I get back to it doesn't make any sense. Why are they not telling us that every game is sold out? Like, how is that possible if these numbers are really true? If you're telling me 23,000 tickets are being gobbled up by ticket brokers and people that are selling it on the secondary market, how is not every game a hardcore sellout?
I don't understand what you're talking about with that. There's still two-thirds of the rest of the stadium.
Right, that's 46,000 people. Are you telling me there's not 46,000 other tickets being sold?
They are for the most part getting sold now when the team's good. They're selling
over 69,000 as an announced attendance the last 2 weeks.
And I know in the first game they announced a sellout to that. Yeah. Against the Cardinals.
At Arizona? The Arizona game?
It was pretty much and I thought I saw little flickers of empty seats in the upper deck, but it was for the most part full. You know, give or take a few. So I think that those tickets are getting sold easier now than they were a couple years ago when you could easily walk up and sit in the upper deck if you paid on the
for $20.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was pretty easy.
Steve has been waiting patiently. Steve, line four. Steve, welcome in.
What's up, guys? Hey, I'm gonna need a loan from you guys. Talking about tickets, I was thinking about going to the Battery this weekend and got online today, and I don't know if y'all looked yet or not.
I tried.
So you know what prices they're going for?
For the World Series?
No, I couldn't even get through the queue to buy tickets.
What are the prices?
I got through the queue. I got on the Braves email list. They sent me an email with the code to get in because you had to have a code to even try to get a ticket. I got a special offer in home run, whatever, porch for $8.30 a piece.
Okay, well, that's
Is that the ticket price or is that the secondary price?
No,
that's the ticket price.
Man.
Yeah, that's ticket. I mean, you think I could have bought them and resold? I want to go to the game, but I just wondered if you could even people will pay more. And I know it's a special event. That's crazy. I thought a couple $100, but I think they start at 500.
I told Chase the number was probably going to be around 500 because he was telling me his cap number, and I thought he would be. I thought he would be good, but yeah, I guess the more I've thought about it, I'm not.
I'm prepared. I'm prepared for that. Well, if I can just get through the queue.
Did you buy him or no?
No, I didn't do it. I'm a big, obviously big baseball fan, but there is a special. You can pair it up with the Days Inn next to it. It's for $700 a night at the Days Inn, and so
that's not price gouging or anything, is it?
Nice Days Inn over there, but
the Days Inn, $700.
The one that's next to the stadium over there.
Oh, I know that.
Jeez, then what's the Omni going for?
Oh, God.
We stayed in the Omni this summer, and it was $600 a night just for a regular night. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, we might go and just hang out in the Battery. So that's just, I mean, that's fun just to be out there and watch it. I'm sure it'll be packed, but anyhow, they'll be. I'm glad they're in it. So I hope they can get through it and beat the cheating Astros.
All right,
me too.
Thank you for the phone call.
Is there and I know we have another call, but is there a way that the Titans or the NFL or both could put in a policy, and I try and say this because you don't want to punish the people that have done it right, like the day one PSL holders that they're there every game and they're, you know, they've had their season tickets for years. You don't want to punish them, but, you know, put in a policy that says, hey, if you buy the PSL and you don't buy season tickets after a certain amount of time, you have to sell the PSL. Like, can they do that? And maybe that's a way to get rid of some of these ticket brokers, or you monitor the activity. I don't know. I mean, I obviously haven't gone through this process, but I do feel like there should be a way that if you're not using the PSL yourself to buy tickets, then you should be forced to have to sell the PSL. Because I do know people that have owned PSLs for a while and they haven't used their tickets. They've sold.
What do you mean?
Them.
Yeah. Haven't used them?
They've sold them. They've sold. Well, yeah, but sold their right to. They still own the PSL, but then they sell their right to buy the season ticket to somebody else.
They've sublet.
Sublet. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. See, that's a hard thing. Like, is that legal? Could you force them legal? Because that's not the circumstances. That's not the terms that you bought the PSL.
Yeah, I mean,
so could you change the terms? I don't think you can.
That's where they're stuck.
That's the double-edged sword of the PSL. That's the unforeseen consequence of the PSL, which I thought all along was not for this, hey, that's going to force you to keep buying the season tickets. I thought it was much more this community thing of the people that use the stadium are going to pay for the stadium. You know, so somewhere along the line, that became irrelevant. The stadium is built, has been for a long time, so why the obligation to continue to sell PSLs has always been my thought anyway. And I've wondered too, what would the cost if you reimbursed every PSL owner and just said we're blowing up the P? I brought this up several years ago, so this isn't just something I come up with today. But I've wondered if you just blew it up and said, starting next year there are no PSLs. We're gonna make good on all the people that have been PSL owners for all these years. Maybe your tickets are free for the next season or two, something like that. And we're going to start from scratch. What would happen there?
But what does that change?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. You still have a secondary market.
You still have an issue, right? What, I mean, it's. But I don't know what that changes.
I'll give you another example that I see a lot. Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field, you will see all kinds of things around Wrigley Field saying, buy your Cubs tickets here. Mm-hmm. And it's not the ticket office. It's a ticket brokerage. But from what I'm told, the Cubs have basically bought up a lot of those. They control the secondary market. They control their own secondary market. And so then you can dictate a little bit more who you're selling to. You become the ticket broker. So you have the secondary market, but maybe you have a little bit better control of the other team's fans.
Let's go to another Steve on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey, Willie, you just said exactly what I was going to say. So the Predators, what they've done, and I'm not a fan of it, is they've gone to where they control the secondary market. And, you know, I think they're skating on thin ice, honestly, because you can only go so far with the Stanley Cup run that was years ago. And you're seeing that now with attendance and such. But anyway, as far as, because they will not let you, I mean, you know that, they won't let you transfer tickets. And so you know, they basically are they're getting rid of the secondary market when a lot of people just can't make every game. It's not like everybody bought these tickets just to resell and make money. But a lot of people can't make every game, and I'm not a season ticket holder. I've had a partial season ticket in the past, but I found that I could always actually go out on the street and buy tickets cheaper and save my money, just to be honest with you. But as far as the Titans go and how this all rolls, I just don't see any way that they can control that. I mean, we're a big-time city now in a lot of ways. I mean, we're not L.A., we're not New York, nothing like that. But we're a destination city. Everybody, you know, hey, you want to go to Vegas to watch a game? You want to go to Dallas? You know, you have draws there that are the city or the big stadium. Nashville's the city. People want to come, you know. So, I mean, you see Kansas City, you see Buffalo, you see these teams. We all know that. It's established. And the season ticket holders, they own that ticket. So, you know, if they can sell a ticket to the Buffalo game and pay for half of their season ticket for the year, that's their business. And if the Titans can't draw enough other fans, that's their problem, if you ask me. And honestly, I can sit at home and look at a 60-inch TV, eat my own food, drink my own drinks, and I'm pretty dang content. I mean, I lived in Middle Tennessee all my life, and I used to go to a lot of the games. But it's just really, for what you get when you go down there between parking and paying for everything and the experience, which, I mean, I know we're dealing with, what, a 20, I don't even, can't even keep track anymore, 24-year-old stadium. You know, I mean, I think a lot of local fans just don't feel, I mean, we're fans. We pull for the Titans.
Yeah, watch all the games.
It's worth it.
No question.
We just don't feel like it's worth it anymore.
You're making a great point. You're making a great point, because any discussion of what we're talking about, of trying to take big measures to ensure that your fans going, it has to be based on one thing, that you have enough fans that want to be there and want to have a great experience down there. It worked for the Predators for a long time. But it is going to continue to be a challenge,
yeah,
as we go through what we're going as a nation, economy with the pandemic and everything. It's become an increasing challenge to do that. And Steve's making a great point. The Titans have to make sure that fans want to come down there who live here and you know, come down eight times. You got to have that emotional attachment. You got to have that mentality of, hey, I went to the Titans game and I had a great time. It's not, man, it's hard to get in and get out of the stadium. Yeah. If that's the discussion, then you're going to kind of lose that battle.
And that's what the Predators have had for a good while. Like that has been the one thing they have definitely been able to hang their hat on, right? Is people come away from the experience and they talk about it. They go to work and they talk about it. And that's what's been going on for years and years. And, you know, you just brought it up after you went to the Arizona game. I flat out asked you, because you have harped on this for years. I said, Willie, how was the game day experience? Is it getting any better? And you're like, nope.
It was mixed. Yeah, it was mixed.
Like, it was okay. It's okay. You're basically going there to get the game, and that's it. And the Predators have made it more, you know, it's not about just the hockey game, which is obviously important, but they've got a lot of other bells and whistles going on that make the whole experience something that you go and you talk about to your coworers, your friends in the neighborhood,
and takes
that's how
it to
spreads.
Maintain that, right? You have to, and they have to get the bars high, so they have to keep investing and keep working to maintain that. And there's only so much you can do. That, as we know, you can't guarantee that the team's going to be really good every year.
Yep, that's right. Go ahead,
real quick. A PSL owner texted in and said, if you don't buy season tickets and can't sell the PSL, you lose it back to the Titans. So I know there are people still subletting, like figuring out how to do that. But I guess if you don't do anything with it, then they
now say that part. Say it one more time.
He said, as a PSL owner from day one, I know if you don't buy season tickets and can't sell the PSL, you lose it back to the Titans.
Yeah, but we weren't talking about selling the PSL, right? We were just talking about you've already bought the PSL, but you have the right not to buy the tickets, right?
But I think that's what they're saying is if you don't, right? But where I'm confused, because I thought like you could just say, like, let's say I own the PSL, I could say to you, hey, I'm not gonna buy season tickets this year. Do you want to buy?
Do you want them? Right?
Do you want to use my PSL?
Them. Yeah,
right.
And so I think what he's saying is, if nothing happens, like if you're just like, hey, I want to hang on to the PSL, I'm going to take a year off, you can't.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, no. We weren't saying that. Yeah. You have to find basically a willing partner to buy those tickets, your tickets.
Right.
But you stay in the mix, right? If you when you and you usually can, right? I would say that most of the time you're going to be able to do that. You're going to find somebody who can do that. I would think, right? I mean, how many people have the story of saying, "I couldn't find anybody to sublet my tickets to, and I lost my PSL." Like, how many of those stories are out there? I don't know. Maybe they are, but I don't know. It seems like a stretch. Willie, tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
Okay, new sponsor on the show, QC Kinetics. And this is directed at people that are living right now with some chronic joint pain. Knee pain, hips, shoulders. It could be a lot of different things. Maybe you've tried some different things. Maybe you've even had a surgery, or you've tried some steroids or something to that effect. This is a new option for you that QC Kinetics wants you to know about that you can consider. These are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. It's the leader in these exciting biologic therapies that help restore and repair damaged tissue in your joints with lasting results. So if you've got that pain that we're talking about, knees, shoulders, hip, or back, joint pain that won't go away, check out these new treatments with great patient satisfaction reports. They can actually help your body restore and repair itself. No downtime, no drugs, and even better, no surgery. So call now to schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. Look into this if you're tired about dealing with that joint pain. Don't wait. Call today. Get that free consultation. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024.
Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. We're talking about Mike Vrabel's comments after the game. They came off this huge win over the Chiefs, 27-3, where they dominated the team that has represented the AFC 2 years in a row in the Super Bowl. Dominated them. 3 points. Worst game Patrick Mahomes has had in his NFL career. Worst game. 3 points. Didn't throw a touchdown pass. It's never happened to him until yesterday. And yet Mike Vrabel felt the need because yet again, these were two monster games in a row that the Titans came away with victories. Bills, Chiefs, and the opposition had a whole lot of fans in the stands. And they came away with two home victories. And he was making sure to thank the fans, in particular the ones who are showing up to the games. Kind of took a little bit of a subtle jab to the ones who aren't. Or basically wondering, why is this happening? Why here we are, we've got a good product. We've got, Derrick Henry is, one of the most identifiable guys in the league. Forget the face of the franchise of the Titans. He is one of the top faces in the NFL. He plays here. He should be able to sell tickets. And yet we're talking about the Bills invading Nissan Stadium and the Chiefs fans invading Nissan Stadium. And it prompted the question of, is this ever going to change? Because, Willie, you said something earlier, and I agree with you completely. Because we've talked about this so much over the years, we've had some really good conversations over the years about this problem. And there are people that we have had on here that were either fans that were calling in, listeners of the show, or people who cover the team or people that work in this market, colleagues of ours, media members that have said, but the winning will change all that. I mean, you've got to get back to winning, and the winning will change all that. The winning will fix it.
Yeah, a lot of media people subscribe to that.
So let me ask you, did you think that it would?
First of all, I said, if that is your marketing plan, you are fired, okay? If you are head of marketing and that's your plan, wait till we get to winning. I said that. I remember saying that to Corey Curtis. I was like, you're fired, okay? That's not how you approach things. Like, the winning will just take care of everything, and we'll just sell tickets when we're winning. Like, you can't take that approach. Like, you can't depend on winning to sell tickets. You have to – that's out of your control. You have to control what you can control, and that's trying to sell tickets. How do you convince people to buy tickets no matter what? Like, you don't know how the season's going to play out. So you're 100% spot on. There have been plenty of people that we've had on this show that have said, well, you know, when they get good again, I mean, that'll take care of it. It'll be full of, you know, Titans fans like 1999. Because you know what we didn't talk about in 1999 or 2000 or 2001 or 2002? We didn't talk about the opposition's fans taking over then Adelphia Coliseum.
Joe wrote in his article in The Athletic, he thought it was one of the best atmospheres in the stadium's history. And I think anybody who saw the first 3, 4, 5 years would beg to differ. When it was completely full with virtually all Titans fans, you know, with rare exceptions. I'm not saying 100% every week. There's always a sprinkling. And a little sprinkling, by the way, of the other team's fans
is
healthy.
Yeah,
I think it's good.
Yep.
But when it gets too high, that's the concern. But here is what I think you're fighting too. And this is tough. This is part about the city. Steve laid it out great. There's only a certain price he's willing to pay to come down there to every game when you live here. You've been there before.
Right.
You know what it takes to get in and out. You want to see the game, but it's really easy to watch the game. The person that is in Kansas City and seeing on the schedule the year before, 2 years before, hey, we play in Nashville on that weekend. That'd be a great weekend to go visit Nashville, get some friends. We'll all get down there. We'll get an Airbnb, and we'll have a great time. Those fans are willing to pay a lot more on the secondary market than Steve is. And that happened, and so that's why the broker. So a lot of people ask the question, well, why don't the Titans fans just buy from the secondary market? That's the issue right there.
Well,
right?
They don't care.
The person in Kansas City or Chicago, they don't care how much they're paying.
Of course
it's all part of a big budget
of
we're taking a trip. Yeah.
Yes, it's a trip. They know. They're going to spend thousands and thousands
whatever they need to spend
to come on this trip to Nashville to take in a Titans Chiefs game or Titans Bills game and make a weekend of it or 3 or 4 days of it. Like that's already prepared. But let me ask you this. So the Predators could do they would have the same issue if they had not taken the measures, because you know it's well documented. We've talked about this on the show because we've talked to those fans. The Toronto Maple Leafs have a waiting list of, you know, for years. I don't know how long their waiting list is to get tickets. They can't go. We've had fans tell us they come from Toronto. They have an easier time. They would spend less than it would to go there. So they'd come here, and they'd rather come here and make a – you tell me if it was just wide open and they could do whatever. How many Maple Leafs fans, when they come through once a year, how many you think would be here, especially if it happened to end up on a Saturday night schedule? What do you think it would be? You don't think there's like hockey fan bases that couldn't invade Bridgestone Arena if they were allowed to invade Bridgestone Arena?
And a certain amount of them do, but it's not a number that takes over.
No, I'm talking about invade. Like they used to before all that, but we've already talked about it. The Blackhawks, I'll never forget that game. It was probably 2010, 2009, 2010.
I'll tell you exactly when it was. 2013.
13?
Because
the Saturday
Predators,
day game?
The Predators had the wheels fall off. It was the year they traded for Philip Forsberg.
It was late
Everybody
in the season.
Everybody got hurt late in the season. Blackhawks were having a historic year, and they ended up winning the Cup.
I'm not kidding. I think there was 10,000 Blackhawks fans in the
arena. I
think
you're probably right.
I mean, it was insane. Like, I remember looking out. I'll never get this out of my head. Looking out the plaza, and all I saw leaving Bridgestone Arena was a sea of red as far as you could see, spewing out, spreading out all over Broadway, Fifth Avenue, just crazy. I've never seen a site like that before. And, I mean, that could happen. So there's got to be a way around this. There's got to be a way to be able to combat this, isn't there? Or is it just hopeless?
You have to invest. Okay. You have to invest big time.
So a lot of people on our text line, I know we got more phone calls, but a lot of people on our text line have brought up that it's not necessarily the product on the field, it's the stadium. And that the stadium experience as a whole is what's deterring some people from coming. Now, you mentioned those that make this a destination and come from Nashville, like come to Nashville. I don't think they care. I think they don't care. Yeah, they're coming for the weekend.
But no, I brought this up. That's what the Predators have done well.
Right. They have Bridgestone Arena. It's funny. I kind of play a game when I walk around the arena. I look for things that, like, remember the old purple signs that they had, all those old purple signs that were kind of like for the sections and shows you know where different things are. I mean, you don't really see those much in there anymore. There's only a few remaining. That my point is, that's they have updated the stadium over and over and over the past 23, 24 years. So a lot of people are saying if you either do a major renovation or build a new stadium, that that might get more Nashville fans to come back for a better experience. Now, I would assume that that would help, but you know they're going to have to do something, and they're talking about doing a renovation, it seems. But what kind of renovation, what changes is it going to take for you to decide, yeah, okay, this is going to bring me back?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Let's go to Brock, who's been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, how we doing today?
Good.
So one thing I've noticed is years ago, and this is I'm an older fan, so a long time ago, your home game market, you couldn't watch the home games on TV at home. The right, NFL had it blacked out.
Yep.
You had to go to the game to watch your favorite home team. And when that changed, that's when this started changing. I'm a Giants fan that lives in Tennessee, and I do go to some Titans games. But I don't go to a lot of them because, like the caller before the break said, I can sit on my couch and watch my big screen and drink my beer and eat my food for a whole lot less than I can spend to go downtown Nashville to watch the game.
Okay, so thank you. The blackout rule used to be very prevalent in sports. Willie, you remember the Blackhawks, because I've sparred back and forth with them. They're like, you know, we always – it's like, yeah, it's amazing how you start winning cups, how you sell it up. We always – I was like, no, you didn't. You didn't sell out games. No, you didn't. Your games were blacked out because you weren't selling out games, and people complained like crazy in Chicago. How did we get to the point where the blackout rules were in the NFL, they were in other sports, and yet it seems like all that's kind of gone away?
It's a good question. What you're referring to is the Blackhawks actually did used to black out their home games. They were like the last team to go with sort of an archaic way of thinking.
And
that was their local.
Were furious.
That was for their local broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The blackout rule in the NFL, I'm trying to remember the year. It was probably mid 2000s. Early 2000s?
No, it's probably been
more recent than that. That it went away?
15 years ago, probably.
That it went away?
Yeah.
Maybe 20. Oh. Are you talking more like 2010? It's been a little while. But because I remember the games at Vanderbilt, I have to say, they probably blacked a few of those out, right?
I don't remember a sellout at Vanderbilt.
They had a couple. But it was like the Steelers.
The Steelers game, yeah.
So, okay, give me
opening day against the Colts. You know, there were... They had some sellouts there, but I think they had to black out a few of those games.
So you think it's been, Darren, you said 15 years?
Yeah, I just threw out a number. I don't know.
The league blackout policy has been suspended on a year-to-year basis since 2015.
Ooh, only 2015?
I knew it was pretty recent.
Well, and remember, that is part of the reason, if you can recall what Jeff pointed out. When the team was going through a downtime and there was a sellout streak, the Titans made a deal with a lot of the ticket brokers to buy up the tickets in order to keep the sellout streak going. And that is where a lot of people think it got up to a ridiculous amount of tickets. You can remember Channel 5 uncovered the story. I mean, it's history now, but we know what happened there. Yep. Right, they made a deal with the brokers to buy up the tickets, and now a lot of those brokers still own the tickets, and they are reselling. And now they're in the driver's seat. But that's kind of where it got out of control, or at least to a degree.
Let's go to Ted. Ted, you're up next. Welcome in.
Hey, I've got to imagine that ticket sales for the Preds are way down due to a couple things. Nobody has Bally's Sports Channel on their TV, so you're losing half your audience because nobody has it. And the other thing is the Clear app to get into Bridgestone Arena. They've advertised it heavy on Twitter. Nobody wants to go through the protocols for COVID, you know, to get into the stadium, so they're not even going to make an attempt. So I want to know what your thoughts are about those two things. That nobody's got Bally's, and you got to have COVID testing to get into the stadium.
Willie, I'll let you handle the Bally's part, because I have Bally's.
Well, I think this has been, if you haven't cut the cord, so to speak, then you have Bally. If you get the Braves, you know, the Hawks, you have that channel. If you have DirecTV or if you have Xfinity, you know, the regular cable or satellite services, with few exceptions. Now, the cord cutting, that's a whole different story that we know of. And that's an ongoing thing. The same thing affects the Braves audience. So if you want it, you can get it for sure. The Clear app, now that's something that's ongoing. It's around the league. It's same. We were in Winnipeg, same thing. You had to show your vax card even to get to a restaurant up there. So that's where we are right now, and I can guarantee you that as soon as they can get rid of that, as soon as they feel like from a health standpoint, from a pandemic standpoint, the safety of everybody, it's not like they're waking up every morning saying, oh, yeah, we want to make it really hard for you to come to our game. It's a pandemic. They're trying to do what's right for everybody, and it's all around the league. Everybody's going through that. Okay, so hopefully that's a very temporary thing.
Well, what is the policy for Nissan?
I mean, the Clear app, for what it's worth, the Clear app is not that hard
to
do. It's very easy. We've all done it, right? Yep. You put your information in and you show it, and you get in. If you act like it's this big, you know, bells and whistles to get in, it's really not. It's very easy to get in.
It's like a 3-minute process. Yeah. It's not a big deal. What is the Titans? Is there?
There isn't one. I mean, they you don't have to show your card or anything. I went Monday night. And you walk in, and they have, I get this fancy thing that I think takes your temperature and alerts them, like if your temp is above a certain thing. But you walk through that, and you go through the metal detector, scan your ticket, you're in.
Okay. So there's no Clear app? There's no nothing?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're inconvenienced by the Clear app, it's really your mindset. You probably haven't sat down and actually tried to do it. It's pretty easy.
It's easy. I did it, and now, like, whenever I walk in, it just, bam.
Yeah. If you're saying that I don't want to do that as a matter of principle, then that's kind of on you.
Whatever.
If you want to come to the game, it's very easy to download the Clear app. And like I said, it's only temporary. As soon as they can feel right about lifting that, they will.
Yeah. Obviously, we had a hot button topic here, and sorry we couldn't get to everybody. There's been a lot of people who want to weigh in on this. It's a good topic. It is. Because as the Titans continue to keep winning games, I haven't looked. I'm trying to think of who's the next big attractive. Have we gone through the two biggest ones, Kansas City and Buffalo?
Saints will bring a good crowd.
Yeah, that'll be. The Dolphins, right? That's one of the home games. They won't.
49ers on a Thursday night.
Probably not. We'll
see where they are.
But I would say we're.
So we've gone through the two biggest. Yeah. Okay.
Saints will probably be the next biggest one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, good stuff. That'll do it for our show today. Have a great rest of your day. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning. Vincent, I'm just going to leave it at that. Back tomorrow morning.
At 10.
At 10, you're right. See, there we go. I just say at 10. At 10. I got to get out of the habit. Vincent's right. Yeah. He's absolutely right.
Bailey DJ Nashville, I love you.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.